Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 28, The Younger Sibling. With a quick turn and just a bit more bounce in her gait, Celestia rounded the little circle of pink flowers. On her back, her little brother squealed with delight and held on tightly to her neck and mane. "Take care now, Your Highness," Animus Arkham called out to her from a distance. The great city of Imperia housed many gardens, each one a veritable forest on its own. It was the flowers that constantly drew Celestia to them. The riotous explosions of colors and the storm of fragrances, both contrasted by the carefully ordered buildings and streets of the city, always enchanted her. "Oh, relax, Arkham," she said with a giggle. "I'm not going to drop my little brother." She turned to look at Tirado. "Isn't that right, Terry?" The little gray foal would have replied if he didn't have a hank of a pink mane in his mouth. A cold breeze suddenly blew through the garden, halting Celestia in her tracks. For a moment, even the warmth of Imperia itself receded, leaving her shivering and puzzled. She looked around to see what was going on and quickly realized that she wasn't the only pony who had noticed. Animus Arkham ran towards her, his face marked with concern. The moment passed and Celestia put the strange sensation out of her mind. "Your Highness," Animus Arkham said, "I think we should return to the palace now." Celestia barely heard her guardian. She looked past him and noticed the lone alicorn walking the street from the direction of the palace. There was no mistaking her older brother, Oceanus. His mane was a wave of myriad shades of blue, constantly ebbing and flowing like the waters of the seven rivers. His coat was a silver that gleamed brighter than the spires of Imperia itself, and his eyes were of a blue so dark and deep that it seemed as if light itself failed to illuminate their depths. He walked down the street with his usual formal gait, graceful and controlled all at once.
"Big brother!"
Celestia called out. Before Animus could stop her, she lifted Tirado with her magic and handed him over to her guardian before running towards Oceanus. Her elder sibling must have just come from the palace after meeting with their parents. His day of ascension must be close. She checked her appearance as she ran, making sure that there were no leaves or petals on her and that her mane was neatly arranged and clean of her little brother's spit. There was no warm smile from Oceanus, but Celestia already expected that. He was the most formal, most regal pony in the entire Eternal Herd, a match even for their father and mother. A cold glance didn't stop her from trotting happily in front of him as he walked. She knew that, past that serious mien, he must be beaming inside. His long strides made it difficult for her to catch up with her short legs, but she made up for it with enthusiasm.
"Did you just finish speaking to father?" she asked. "You must be ascending soon. When's the coronation?"
"Get out of my way, Celestia."
"What?"
Before Celestia could even think about her brother's words, his magic enveloped her, lifting her off her hoofs and dangling her before his face. His magic felt like a sheaf of frost wrapped all around her. She whimpered, tears immediately springing from her eyes.
"I said, out of my way," Oceanus said.
His voice was colder than ice and harder than stone. He flung her to the side, sending her tumbling against the pavement. She cried out when her shoulder slammed hard against the stone. Animus Arkham was next to Celestia in an instant. He helped her to her hoofs, then glared at the passing prince.
"You go too far, Prince Oceanus," he said. "What has your sister done to be treated like this?"
Tirado started climbing down Animus. Oceanus didn't even look back. Celestia galloped towards him again. There was no mistaking it. She must have done something horrible to offend him. She was ready to kneel down and beg for forgiveness once she caught up.
"Your Highness, no!"
Animus called after her. She heard him cast a spell and turned her head briefly to glance behind her. When Celestia looked ahead again, Oceanus's sword, a slender, translucent blade of dark blue, was already swinging towards her face. There was no time to try to duck. She closed her eyes as the blade bit into her face just above her right eye. Pain. Pain that Celestia had never felt or even imagined before surged into the cut and burst into her mind like a violent flood. She flew backwards, tumbled against the unfeeling stone of Imperia and into Animus Arkham's hoofs. She pressed a hoof against her right eye and trembled when she felt something wet and sticky trickle down her face. With her left eye, she saw that Oceanus had stopped to glare at her. His lips moved, but she could hardly hear the words because of the ringing in her ears. She saw the movement and read the words.
"What makes you so much better?"
"Oceanus!"
Animus Arkham charged at the prince, his horn crackling with magical energy. Another second passed and he was careening towards the opposite direction. Oceanus walked on. Celestia wanted to chase after him and ask what she had done wrong. Why did he have to hurt her? More alicorns were arriving in the area as Oceanus disappeared from sight. She heard a soft tapping to her side and found Tirado crawling nearby. A trickle of tears had escaped from Celestia's right eye and mingled with the blood. The mixture continued to trickle down, then dropped against the floor. Tirado had crawled over to inspect the drop with his hoofs. He tapped against the mixture and got it on a hoof. His eyes wide, he brought the hoof up against his mouth and gave it a lick. Celestia opened her eyes with a start and found herself back in her room in the royal palace. After sitting up, she put a hoof to her face and found it still a little moist. She had been crying in her sleep, apparently. Her hoof also traced the very thin scars that cut across her right eyebrow. It was difficult to notice, even if some pony was actually looking for it, and if it wasn't covered by her mane all the time. With so many traces of Oceanus being uncovered recently, she had been more and more conscious of it.
"What makes you so much better?"
The question continued to linger. Oceanus had not ascended the throne that day. Their father refused to give his eldest the throne even if it meant delaying the cycle. No decree was made, but many within the Eternal Herd assumed that it was Celestia who would ascend. The cycle must continue. After ruling for so long, Sanctus Dominus and Divina Gratia eventually had to step down. That was the way of the Eternal Herd. If it wasn't Oceanus, once so promising and majestic, it had to be some pony else.
"What makes you so much better?"
She had questioned her father's decision so long ago when she was a hurt little filly clutching at her wounded face. She questioned it now as a princess who had gone against his wishes. There had been so many bad choices and their consequences. A knock on her door brought Celestia out of her moody reverie. She made sure that her eyes were dry before the second knock.
"Celestia?"
It was a concerned Tirado who spoke through the door.
"Are you all right? I heard you cry out."
"I'm fine,"
Celestia replied. She didn't recall crying. She had probably done so while she was asleep. It didn't surprise her that Tirado heard it. Just what part of Canterlot didn't her brother have eyes and ears in? The door opened and Tirado looked into the room.
"You missed breakfast," he said. "Luna asked me to see if you're all right, so... Are you sure you're all right? You slept in late."
"Last night was rather taxing," Celestia said. "I'm surprised Luna is already up and about."
"So am I," Tirado said. "Our little sister's been quite busy lately and she says she can't afford to take too much time recovering."
His eyes narrowed.
"She's been a little too busy, if you ask me."
The sudden shadow across Tirado's face was enough to tell Celestia what he really meant by that. Though he officially shared authority over the Legion with his sisters, it was hardly a secret that he had agents out there who answered only to him. She stood up and looked at him. Tirado was careful not to take so much as a single step into her room. Whatever concern he let his voice show, he now masked with his face. He had been noticeably distant these past few days. There were no grand announcements and no masses of troops marching across Equestria. The draft and training went on quietly. Yet, Tirado was moving. Squads of special operations ponies were all over the heartland, always watching and reporting to him. For all his rumble and roar, Tirado was silent when wished to be. It was one of his less understandable moves that now urged Celestia to speak up.
"Tirado," she said, "tell me your plans with the Dracodym. Why did you bring them to the heartland?"
Maybe you should be getting something to eat first. A meal and a bath would help you through the day before we get to those matters.
I'm not a foal that needs your constant nursing. Tell me now so I can enjoy my meal and bath with my mind at ease.
Fine,
Tirado replied. He stood there so stiffly that Celestia felt uncomfortable just looking at him. It dawned upon her that she didn't like seeing him so stone-faced and distant. Fierce and impatient Tirado, always looking for a fight, and boisterous with his affections towards his sisters, may fill her with concern, but this quiet, defensive Tirado left her cold.
You don't need to stand on ceremony, Celestia said. Come inside and sit down. I'm not taking you away from pressing matters, am I?
No.
Tirado sat on the floor, still a good distance from Celestia. A few more seconds passed before he spoke again.
The Dracodim are necessary to keep the Heartland's dragons in line.
In line by killing them in numbers?
Their methods are brutal, their members are arrogant, and their long-term goals are highly suspect. But they enforce two rules. No eating ponies and no invading their settlements. I would bring them in even if they had no intention of coming to the Heartland, just to avoid diverting resources to control these newly unenchanted dragons. That's not even the case. The Dracodim have agents of their own, and they would have found out about the situation with the Heartland's dragons anyway. All I did was exploit Afralada's sense of honor to gain some benefits for the Legion.
You've said it yourself, Tirado, Celestia replied. These are pride dragons. They won't stop with keeping dragons in line.
I know, Tirado said.
Celestia waited for her brother to say something else, a reassurance from him that the Dracodim would ultimately not prevail in their tyranny, and apologetic acknowledgement of the whole dragon issue. Instead, she felt as if she was watching a fortress locked down.
And where does Spike fit in all of this? She asked.
What are you talking about?
Before the division, Drelhadar and Rienfadora entrusted one of their eggs to me, one that was enchanted by temporal stasis. Spike hatched from that egg.
Really? Small world. Who broke the temporal stasis?
Celestia frowned at the very obvious lies and misdirection.
Twilight Sparkle, she said.
The whole thing was one giant accident. Several of the directors who were examining Twilight despised her father and didn't want her enrolled. They were able to pull enough strings to gain access to the egg, then proceeded to test Twilight with a task even full-fledged graduates from the academy would have found impossible. Twilight managed somehow, just in time to impress Celestia as she was on her way to the academy to reacquire the egg.
Twilight Sparkle,
Tirado said flatly.
Of course.
I assume you found out about all these things during your visit to Canterlot, Celestia went on. What are you planning for the sole surviving son of the Dragon Scourge?
I just want him to grow stronger and help out his friends.
Tirado.
Tirado let out a sigh.
Yes, Spike will have a role to play, just like all of his friends, he said. I won't say more than that.
He looked at her, his stony expression cracking slightly.
I don't like this. He's hardly more than a hatchling. However, the defense of the realm must come first.
He stood up and looked to the door.
Do you need anything else from me?
No,
Celestia said. She thought of looking into the matter more deeply. Luna had mentioned that she had eyes in the barrier lands, but Celestia doubted whether they would be able to gain any information that Tirado didn't decide to feed them anyway. This was his game, and he had hundreds of years worth of practice. Luna meant well, and she led well, but there was a great gulf between the two when it came to experience. Besides, there had to be a better way than the three of them trying to outmaneuver one another. Tirado would speak eventually. If he could just trust his sisters more, there wouldn't be any need for this. Celestia walked towards her brother slowly and reached out to place a hoof on his shoulder. Part of her face, just above her right eye, tingled and ached. She didn't let this make her back down this time. It was Tirado who flinched. For a moment he looked ready to pull back as if she was trying to stab him with a weapon. He forced himself to settle down and her hoof touched his shoulder.
Take care of yourself, Tirado, she said. Luna isn't the only one I'm worried about being overexerted.
The gesture had caught him off guard. His lips twisted slightly, but he didn't say anything else. With a brief nod, he turned and left. It was only after he was a good distance away from his eldest sister's room did Tirado let himself relax a little. He had pressing concerns coming in from special operations. The one that stood out the most was the disappearance of Rainbow Dash and Black Rose's involvement in it. As he neared his destination, he actually welcomed the transition from the white and gold halls of the royal palace to grey stone of its dungeon. Canterlot had a small jail for most of its very rare criminals. The dungeon was supposed to be for more dangerous political prisoners. Supposed to be, anyway. When Barrierland's ponies arrived to inspect it, the dungeon housed only rats and spiders. After a few minutes of walking, Tirado was joined by a legionnaire, Captain Bladescrape of Special Operations, 9th Squad.
"The prisoner transfer has been completed successfully, Your Highness,"
Bladescrape said after a brief bow.
"Good," Tirado replied. "Did he cause any trouble?"
"He showed a great deal of cooperation. We were suspicious, of course, but we didn't encounter any actual difficulties."
"So his sister hasn't bothered to fetch or silence him," Tirado said. "That narrows it down to him not being a threat, being full of misinformation, or us actually doing a good job."
He looked towards Bladescrape.
"Has he said anything else?"
"A lot, Your Highness. He has provided us with information on how to identify Black Rose's agents, but he's cautioned us that she has probably changed many of her usual methods now that she knows that he's turned on her."
"And how has his information been so far?"
"Surprisingly effective, nonetheless. We've confirmed several agents already."
A shadow fell across Bladescrape's face. "Black Rose has a frighteningly large information network."
"Of course she does."
Tirado didn't bother hiding his smile of admiration. The two of them stopped in front of Blue Moon's cell. Black Rose's younger brother was manacled, shackled, and hornlocked. 6 guards stood by his cell at all times. Upon Tirado's arrival, he did as best he could to kneel down. The other guards swiftly bowed their greeting. Blue Moon's rise within the Legion would have been a legend all on its own, except that he spent most of his career under his sister's shadow. He was known as Legionnaire Almost, in comparison to his sister. Almost as powerful, almost as smart, and almost as pretty. Tirado had carefully watched him back then, concerned that Blue Moon would become resentful of Black Rose's acclaim, and that he would try to sabotage her. He never did. On the contrary, he worked closely with his sister, supporting her every endeavor, and going so far as to lead her special squad.
"I've been hearing about how helpful you've been, Blue Moon,"
Tirado said.
"I wish only to serve Equestria, Your Highness," Blue Moon replied.
"And that's what you'll continue to do?"
Tirado continued to study the prisoner. Blue Moon's sincerity seemed genuine. Perhaps he really did go against his older sister because she had gone too far, and that his loyalty to Equestria had always been pure and unflinching. Even considering that left Tirado feeling the bitter sting of shame inside. Unflinching loyalty. He had been so confident before that such a thing was one of his strengths. Recent events had left him full of doubt. Things were so much easier when, do as Celestia asks, served as his guiding principle. Reunification had left him examining his own ideas about Equestria and doubting the things he had done and planned on doing. Blue Moon had gone through something similar. He turned towards Bladescrape.
"Let him out of there," he said.
"Your Highness?"
Bladescrape blinked in confusion.
"Keep him hornlocked and under guard, but I think Blue Moon deserves a little mobility and a change of scenery,"
Tirado added.
"I am honored by this show of trust,"
Blue Moon said. In response, Tirado's horn flashed with magic. Most of the ponies in the room blinked and looked around. Nothing seemed to have happened. Blue Moon kept his gaze on Tirado. The look on his face showed that he understood.
"As you should be,"
Tirado said. He was about to say more when he felt an all-too-familiar wave of magic gently caress his mind. Black Rose. Black Rose was trying to contact him. The brazen move left him astonished for a moment, then made him smile. Why was he even surprised?
This was classic Black Rose. He saw the other ponies around him look at him with concern.
Keep on being useful, Blue Moon. I'm in constant need of agents these days, and I'll be happy to take the ones Black Rose loses.
He cast another spell and teleported out of the palace. High above Canterlot, Tirado looked around for a secure place, then considered having this meeting with his sisters. He dismissed the thought. Black Rose would simply cease trying to contact him if things weren't private. He flew on, distancing himself from Canterlot until it was a mere speck by the horizon. Only then did he cast the spell that would bring Black Rose's image before him.
"It is so nice to see you again, beloved," Black Rose said.
In the magical image, she was reclining on a bed, her mane and tail carelessly spread around her. His gaze lingered on her wings. The black feathers looked lovely. Black Rose wore power with ease. As futile as it likely was, Tirado was already working on tracing the spell back to its source.
"Black Rose," he said.
He focused on the most pressing concern.
"What have you done to Rainbow Dash?"
"So quick to the point. Indulge me a little and I'll tell you in all honesty."
Tirado used to find the little games amusing. When they were limited to the two of them and didn't involve the lives of the elements of harmony.
"All right."
Black Rose's gaze suddenly softened.
"Tell me, beloved, if I returned Celestia's power and turned over my resources to the three of you, can we go back to how we used to be back then?"
"Yes,"
Tirado replied. He matched her tenderness with his own, making it sound like he was imploring her.
"Come to Canterlot and restore my sister's power. You can take your place with me once more. You can lead the Legion as you used to, and I'll defend you from any pony who insists on punishment."
The answer actually gave Black Rose pause. For a moment, her eyes widened in wonder. After that, her lips slowly curved into a smile before she burst into laughter. Tirado let himself chuckle a little as well.
"Point taken," she said.
"I thought so,"
Tirado replied. There was no need to say anything else about that pointless, indulged idea. The trust was gone. He was never going to believe any surrender from her, and she was never going to believe any promise of reprieve.
"Now can we get to more serious things?"
"That was a serious thing," Black Rose replied quietly. "But I will talk about Rainbow Dash. She's in a rather uncomfortable situation at the moment."
She took a more reassuring tone.
"There's no need to worry, my prince. I don't want the elements of harmony dead."
"Where is she?"
"Now, where is the fun in just telling you right away? That would leave poor Longstride in a bad spot."
"Longstride,"
Tirado thought. He remembered the silent Pegasus who always kept to himself, even when the rest of the Thorns were together. Black Rose was pitting her special squad against the elements of harmony.
"What happened to In All Honesty?" he asked.
"Isn't my reassurance enough?"
Black Rose asked. She put on a mock-hurt face. He snorted at the posturing.
"Very well, since you're so serious, I wish to negotiate a trade. I will set your special operations on the right path towards Rainbow Dash. Mind you, I won't hand her to them gift-wrapped. I also have a good idea of what's going on in the Eternal Herd. I have some tidbits that you are certain to find useful about the oh-so-charming Gravitas."
"And what do you want in return?"
Tirado asked.
"A meeting with you in person,"
Black Rose replied. Any trace of mocking or amusement disappeared from her face.
"Just the two of us in a specified place. No violence or trickery. I will tell you all I have just promised."
"What's wrong with magical communication?"
Black Rose's tone saddened.
"If you don't understand, my prince, stone cold is too warm a term for you. I think you do understand, though. It's just a little difficult to accept because of the things I've had to do."
Tirado did understand. At least, he believed he did. He also knew that dealing with the Ninth Rebellion would be far easier than this. Oceanus was strong enough to rip him and his sisters apart with glee, but he was a complete monster that Tirado could charge at without hesitation.
"Name the place,"
he said.
The smile returned to Black Rose's face. "Won't your sisters be suspicious?" she asked. "Shouldn't you consult with them first?"
"They already are," Tirado replied. "And with good reason."
He could imagine some of the responses already. Luna would vehemently refuse and say that Black Rose may as well dangle a giant cage over a piece of carrot. She'd have a point too. This had all the signs of a trap. A void knife to the heart and Black Rose would have power over the sun and the earth, if she didn't explode from taking in too much power. Although it could be argued that the obviousness was a guarantee that it wasn't. And what for? Some bits of information that he and his sisters could acquire through other means?
"No,"
he admitted to himself. He knew the truth. The information was important and was what pushed him to risk this. But that he wanted to see Black Rose in person was also a reason. As for Celestia, he pushed the thought away. If this happened yesterday, he'd have a clear idea of what Celestia would say. This morning muddled those expectations.
"Well?"
he asked.
"Let's hear it."
"The Heavenly Basin," Black Rose said. Tirado snorted. The Heavenly Basin, the place where it all should have ended. Getting there alone would be quite a trip. Black Rose was giving Longstride a head start. He hoped that Rainbow Dash was made of sterner stuff.
"Let me make some arrangements," he replied.
There would be plenty of those. He was meeting the enemy in a place of her choosing. Preparations had to be made, including contingencies in case Equestria had to function without him. For an instant it seemed as if Black Rose's face had lit up in anticipation. After that instant, she had a serene smile once more. "I'll see you there, then."
Damn it, I had that commentary audio already recorded and I have to re-record it because my damn chair was touching the stand of my microphone and creating some bad background noise. Okay. I want to know your opinion on the volume of this chapter, because when I was putting in the commentary in another video, I was like, "Oh my god, that's so the volume is so low," but I had already uploaded it to YouTube, so I was, "Oh my god, I can't just put that down, it's already published, put that down and, I mean, and then amplify the audio in Order City or somewhere." Because I would have to do that to, like, I don't know, 100 videos. So I just cranked up the dial for the volume here. And I just want to know your opinion on it. Is it too loud? Is it just right? I mean, when I started recording, the waveforms on my screen were about the size they are now. They became more silent. The volume turned down a little when I got a new microphone. So I want to know your opinion on that. But now let's go to this chapter. Who would have thought that the first blood Tirado had ever on his hooves was Celestia's, and that the wound that blood flowed out of was made by his eldest brother, by his eldest sibling, I mean, by Oceanus. Even if Tirado says that Oceanus is not his brother, he clearly is. I mean, he is the elder brother of Celestia. Celestia is Tirado's elder sister. So basically, Oceanus is Tirado's older brother. Yeah, I mean, he even tasted it. But I still think that Oceanus is being a jerk. Whatever insult you would throw at him, I think it might fit. Yeah, but he's also obviously pretty powerful. I mean, throwing back Celestia's guardian like that. Yeah, I can imagine that isn't that easy. I mean, Celestia is a princess, even in the Eternal Herd, meaning that she would have a pretty strong guardian, don't you think? Yeah. Okay, what do we have next? Yeah, what was that with Luna and that little tidbit where it was said she means well? And she leads well. I think that had the barrier never been created, then the war would be over by now. Luna would have become a commander just like Tirado is, even if Celestia would have disapproved. But buck her. And then brother and sister would have just gone off to Wolvengard or Fidus and
Arsinium and wipe them out. I mean, two Alicorns against Fenrir, for example, with an army of ponies behind them? I don't know. For me, that sounds like an unstoppable force. I mean, Fenrir and Tirado are like equally matched. So if you can imagine bringing Luna into this, I mean, to this point, we don't know her fighting style yet. I know that it is explained later, but I will not spoiler you here. I can only say this, she is fucking strong. Okay, sincerely yours, Visual Pony, and let me know your opinions.